Hi, Gloria Cruz. Welcome to KBOO.
Thanks, Bill. I appreciate you having me on.
Gloria Cruz works at the organization Education Northwest. What brings Gloria to KBOO? Well, they are a member of the City Charter Commission. And the commission, after a year of study, hearings, deliberations, it proposed a very ambitious, sweeping, and radical proposal. For some people, too radical. That proposal is in three parts. Those three would make important changes in Portland's elections and its structures and operations of city government. And it will be on the ballot for approval or disapproval this November. This interview will concentrate on these three proposals and the controversies the proposals have triggered. First, though, Gloria, tell us about the city charter, what it is. Also, tell us about the Charter Commission, its responsibilities, and how and why you became a member of the commission and how it deliberated and structured itself.
A city charter is like a city's constitution. It's a guiding document that establishes the government system and the structure of the city. So a charter authorizes powers and outlines basic, broad fundamentals of city government. So the Charter Commission's responsibilities were pretty unique, where if 15 of the 20 charter commissioners agree to a recommended change, then those recommendations go directly to the ballot for Portlanders to vote on. And I think it's really important just to note that only by a vote of Portlanders will the charter be changed. So I actually became a commissioner because several years ago, I lost both my parents within an 18-month time span, and they were both disabled. I was their main caregiver, and they both worked, but they were both considered low income. So I consider myself a competent person, but when I needed to turn to services to help care for them, I found it extremely difficult to navigate. I managed, but once they passed, I really started to think about how government should work and how it can be better. And so when the opportunity came up, I applied. Additionally, I work in human resources, and I really drew on that experience in this process to balance delivering a solution that works and just holding space for the nuance and the complexity of things. So I wasn't actually a part of the original 20 commissioners that were selected, but someone resigned and I was selected to become a member of the commission in December of 2021. And then in terms of just how it was structured in the deliberation, like I said, I wasn't part of the first year of commission work, but I was fully on board with the way that the commission approached this work. There was a lot of intentional work done around values and working agreements, and the committee was eventually divided into several subcommittees, one for form of government, one for city council elections, and the other for community engagement. And then most commissioners were a part of more than one committee.
So, Gloria, before we get to the depth discussion of the three proposals, I think it'd be good to outline the three pretty briefly.
Yeah, I can do that. So I think it's important to underscore that we really see this measure as one reform being presented to Portlanders. It's comprehensive, and we really feel like it meets the moment that Portland is facing. Each section of this comprehensive measure was deliberated on with intentionality and how it would interact with the other moving parts of the measure. So they work together, and they create a city that works for everyone. We wanted to make effective operations and services available. We wanted to lead Portlanders to have the ability to have more choice and create fair and more accountable representation. So simply, it, number one, allows voters to rank candidates in their order of preference in one election. Two, creates district representation with an expanded city council. And then three, it establishes a mayor-council government structure.
One thing about the commission, this is not over. The commission has a responsibility to look at the city government and its effective areas and its ineffective areas, and to the extent of their authority, to make suggestions. Like, for example, participatory budgeting might be one of the things that could lead to a proposal in the future, or some forms of police reform seem to me to be on the agenda.
Well, the way that the commission approached this work, they did consider these issues that are presented right now in this one reform that we've already presented. But there is another set of issues that the commission is considering, and we are in the beginning stages of reviewing those different subjects. And so I would say at this point, we have kind of deliberated and dwindled down three areas that will have additional committees. And that area for now is an extension of community engagement, because we really feel that community engagement needs to be something that is present throughout the commission's tenure. Additionally, we have looked at suggestions and recommendations from the directors of each bureau and how they have proposed amendments to the charter, which would establish and help them act out their responsibilities as bureaus more effectively. And then we have also heard a lot from community around the issue of climate. And so at this point, those are kind of subcommittees that have been established. But I think at one point there definitely was consideration to additional issues, and the issues that you described were on the docket and we did consider. And we took obviously a lot of thought around what we were hearing from community, and also had to balance that with the kind of time frame that we're left with as our responsibilities as commissioners, which will extend through December 3rd of this year.
Boy, I'm happy to hear that there's a climate subcommittee. That's one of my major interests nowadays, probably my major interest. The threat is enormous, and the city could do a lot more. Bill Resnick here for KABU Radio, 90.7 FM. KABU offering hope in hard times, that better possible, sustainable, democratic world. And we offer it 24-7, 365, live stream to the universe. I'm talking today to Gloria Cruz, a member of the City Charter Commission, and the commission, after a year of study, hearings, deliberation, it proposed a very ambitious, sweeping, to some people, too radical change in the structures and operations of city government. Gloria so far outlined commission responsibilities and its operations, also outlined the three major proposals that will be on the November ballot. So, Gloria, it seems to me important to do a more depth analysis of the three proposals, particularly where they're controversial. So first, tell us about the new form of government replacing the commission form, which is the only one of the three proposals that has, I understand, the least opposition. Why is that?
Yeah, Bill, I think that Portland has long awaited a move away from the antiquated commission system, and one aspect of this reform package will address that by implementing a professional city administrator. That city administrator will have the expertise to efficiently deliver services. So I think one of the big changes here is that the mayor will now be fully charged with running the city's day-to-day operations, and the city administrator will assist with the mayor with building long-term solutions to respond to communities' needs. And so that looks like a city council that's accessible. And one of the big things here is that currently commissioners are tasked with running bureaus, and in this new form of structure, that responsibility will then go to the city administrator, and the city administrator would be nominated by the mayor and then confirmed by city council. In this form of government, the mayor would be able to introduce legislation, but the council is the main legislating body of Portland's government. And then I think we have also heard from community and heard from folks, and so we deliberated and presented the mayor with the ability to have a tie-breaking vote.
So that was the first proposal of the three that will be voted up or down in a package in the November election. The second proposal in the package on the ballot is for ranked choice voting in all city elections. Gloria Cruz, tell us about ranked choice voting, the opposition, their arguments, and how the commission is responding to them.
Absolutely, yeah. Ranked choice voting, is this a way for Portlanders to have a fuller range of voter expression at the ballot box? It's an opportunity to allow the voter to simply look at their ballot and rank which candidate they like the best, or the one that fits their values, or the one that they believe will do the best job. And these are just various ways in which voter expression might show up. And it's a vast improvement over forcing voters to ignore those preferences and choose only one candidate, especially if that candidate doesn't fully represent them. I also think that the ideas around ranked choice voting are inherently simple to understand. You know, some folks might prefer a beach vacation over a mountain getaway, but we rank things in our everyday lives all of the time. And I think that we can trust that people know what they like. And what's important here is that ranked choice voting will give people more choice.
Yeah, it gives the voters more choices, but it also gives minority movements of all kinds a voice in the election in many ways. For one, even the favorites and the people with great name recognition, they have to think about all of those voters. And that would hopefully continue into their administration. It seems to me a second thing is that it makes the deliberative process by the voters, it's much richer because they will hear more points of view to reflect on in thinking about the election. And finally, it seems to me there's no requirement for people to vote for every candidate. That's my sense. That is, if a white supremacist is on the voting, you don't have to even rank them as 8th or 10th. If you don't vote for them, they get no votes from you. And that seems to me a great protection in the system.
I think Portlanders are ready to be represented in a new and expanded way. And I feel like ranked choice voting really allows for new voices to run for office, which I think is really exciting, especially in a city like Portland, where we do tend to have a certain kind of politician. And I think that we generally lean a little left. But I think this is exciting because ranked choice voting is just one way in which more candidates will be able to identify with voters more succinctly. They can really campaign on values and different issues. And I think this is really going to stand out to voters. Ranked choice voting also allows for, again, greater representation and expression. And when we talk about diversity, I think that we often fall along, you know, racial and ethnic lines. Those are the things that come to mind first. But there's a lot of other types of diversity that are just as important here in Portland in regards to whether or not you're a renter or a homeowner or just like the differing ideologies and values that you might have. I think that ranked choice voting really allows for voters to identify with those different aspects of candidates' platforms as well.
Yeah, the opposition says that it's too complex. You pointed out it's not too complex. It's pretty simple, actually, to understand. It's not as simple as the current system of winner-take-all. They argue, though, that it can be gamed, you know, that somehow nefarious people will do something to, in some way, violate the will of the people more easily than in the current system, which I think is a baloney argument. But have you run into that argument?
Yeah, I have heard that argument, and I don't really believe that that's true. What I do believe that ranked choice voting does is it really does kind of address that full expression. And I feel like one of the arguments that I hear around ranked choice voting is that the threshold is too low. There's currently a 25% plus one threshold in the, you know, in the reform package that we've put forth. And, you know, I think some of the argument is that that's a pretty low threshold versus what is currently 50%, you know, plus one threshold. And I think if you really look at what happens, there are candidates in our current system that are on council right now that, you know, have won with less than 50%. So I think the argument is kind of flawed there. Like, we already vote people in at below the 50% plus one threshold. So I don't really think that that holds a lot of water for me. And I feel like it's more of a opportunity to kind of stoke fear. And I do think that, you know, ranked choice voting, again, just provides more choice and more voice for each voter. And the simple fact is that the voter experience is going to be a voter approaches a ballot. They're going to rank their candidates via their preference. And if their first preference doesn't win or get elected in, then their ballot will get reallocated to their second preference, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, so we've already discussed proposals 1 and 2. Gloria, tell us about proposal 3 for dividing the city into 4 districts with 3 members representing each district. It is, of course, elected by ranked choice.
Absolutely. So Portlanders have long been ready to have more meaningful relationships with their elected officials. Having multiple elected officials linked to a specific area allows them to understand the issues their constituents are facing. Portland has outgrown the 5-member council it currently has. Multi-member districts are designed to address the fact that an increased council size of what we're proposing is 12 will better serve Portland's population and create a better elected official to constituent ratio. So this area of the reform addresses, again, more expression, more representation, with having 3 elected officials in each district. And a district can elect multiple candidates with different strengths. And we believe that having that varying perspectives and viewpoints represented from a district better serves the people of that area.
Bill Resnick here for KBOO Radio, 90.7 FM, Portland, Oregon. I've been talking to Gloria Cruz, a member of the City Charter Commission. After a year of study and deliberations, hearings, you proposed this very ambitious, very sweeping, to some people, too radical change in the structures and operations of city government. Gloria has discussed 3 major proposals, especially the controversies that have arisen. The 3 will be on the November ballot, and that doesn't end the commission's responsibilities. It's likely that more proposals will be voted on in subsequent elections. I have to sign off. If you like today's show or any of its individual pieces, or if you want to recommend the show to a friend, the show and the pieces will be available on the KB website. You just type in the search box, Old Mole, and you will find it. Thanks for listening. And our thanks also to Gloria Cruz for their work on the Charter Commission and for talking to us today.
Really appreciate being here, Bill. Thank you so much for having me.